Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Thank God for you, you, and especially you. We are excited this morning, amen, that you have joined us in the sanctuary, amen, for praise and worship. The presence of the Lord is already manifesting, amen, and we are excited about the Word of God that is getting ready to come forth this morning by none other than my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. So I challenge each and every one of you to grab your Bibles, amen, get ready to just enjoy the service, get ready to get involved in the praise and worship, amen, as you come expecting from God. I guarantee that He will not disappoint you at all, amen. But before we begin, I just want to give you an encouraging word on this morning. Let us come out of the book of Matthew, chapter 7. The book of Matthew, chapter 7, reading from the 7th verse. Once again, that is the book of Matthew, chapter 7, reading from the 7th verse. And the word of God reads as such: Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, knowing how to give good gifts, amen, unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearer, and most of all the doers of his word. That is Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, reading to verse 11. The word of the Lord is blessed. Now come on and let us open up our mouths and put our hands together this morning and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Glory to Him. We praise Him. And we bless your holy name. There is none like our God. Amen. But I also want to just go quickly into the announcements for this morning. Amen. Letting you know that every Tuesday at 7 p.m., please join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Every Thursday, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. also. Amen. And then if you want to see us live, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, We ask that you would come join us at 9:30 a.m. every Saturday and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. Watch us right here live, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, for our morning praise and worship experience. You can see us at www.cttkr.org. That is our website, and we definitely invite you there. Amen. We just ask that you would begin to either pray about becoming a vision partner, prayer partner, and financial supporter of this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all around the world. Amen. Glory to God. For those of you who are interested in learning more about us, amen, or if you want someone to just touch and agree with you in prayer, amen, or if you would like for us to minister at any one of your engagements as you're on our website, once again, that's www.cttkr.org. Go to the Contact Us page or the tab located at the top of our website, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. And right next to that tab, you'll see our media page for those of you who want to keep up with us, see all of our broadcasts that are going on, and hearing the word of the Lord from either myself or my husband, Apostle McQueen. Amen. Hearing what thus saith the Lord unto you. Amen. We are excited about what God is doing at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Glory to God. And finally, want to let you know just some events that we have going on. This weekend, we're coming up to the conclusion of my WOTD fellowship. Amen. That was September 19th through the 21st of this morning. Apostle McQueen will be bringing the word, and this evening I'll be bringing the word for, in front of you for the conclusion of my fellowship conference. That is every third weekend. Amen. So if you are in the Brevard County area, I personally want to extend an invitation to you to come to Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Amen. That is located at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. Amen. That's 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. We will definitely love to see your face in the place. I'm expecting God to do something for you, and I guarantee He will do it. Amen and amen. Also, one of our events that are coming up, my personal yearly conference, one of the Prophetic Destiny conference that comes up every year, October 16th through the 19th. You don't want to miss this. We have guests coming from all over the United States. It's going to be a powerful impact time, amen, and we will definitely be showing it live, streaming live on our broadcast. So you want to get yourself prepared for that, October 16th through the 19th, 7 p.m. on the dot. Please join us there. And then in the month of November, we have the Singles Conference coming up. Amen. And to round it off, going into the following year, January 29th through February 1st, we have Joshua Generation Young Warriors. Amen. They're going to be coming forth in the anointing and power and word and song. Amen. I'm excited already. Can't wait to see what the young people are going to do. Amen. With Young Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference, amen, January 29th through February 1st, 2015. Amen. Those are the announcements. Amen. Now, let us pray, and then immediately after prayer, we're getting ready to go into praise and worship. Come on, let's look to the Lord, people of God. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we come before you this day, and we bless your holy name for all that you have done for us. God, we are so grateful for yet another day. We are so grateful for being able to come into your presence once again. We thank you for your protection. You kept us all night long. God, we thank you for waking us to a new day that's filled with new grace and new mercies. Father, we just say thank you for just being God all by yourself. Now, as we, your people, come this morning, we come with our hands uplifted. We come with our minds clear. We come with our hearts bowed before you, ready to give your name all praise and worship and glory. Father, we open up our spiritual ears this morning to hear what thus saith the Lord that's coming through the man of God on this morning. As he delivers the word in power and in deed and in word, God, we prepare our hearts now to receive. And Father, we say yes to your will and yes to your way once again. Now, God, as we come, we humble ourselves at your feet, asking you to have your way. And we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit in this house, in
in the mighty name of Jesus. That's the way, Holy Ghost, and only you know how. Touch heart to heart today, God. Get our minds closer to you. Get our hearts closer to each other, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, that we just begin to glorify you and praise you in this time, we ask that you would bless each and every one that's under the sound of my voice. God, we ask that you would pour out a special blessing on Christ the King within the ministry, God, as the souls come from the north, south, east, and west. Let our eyes and our hearts be prepared to receive the inflow of those that are coming in, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your presence work through and abide and live in this place in Jesus' mighty name. Now, God, be magnified and be glorified in everything that you do. God, there's no one else like you, and we love you with everything that is within our being. We give your name all the praise. We give your name all the glory. And we give your name all the honor that is to you. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty precious name. Amen and amen. Now the next voice you will hear will be none other than Sister Under the Leather as you come for the grave and worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless your name today, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you don't listen, I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. He prayed for everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, we glorify you in this place. So give the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let there be life of Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm
driving in your car, at your job, amen, or right there in your living room, just giving God the praise and glory. Why? Because He is good. Just that. Amen. That's how great and wonderful our God is. And I pray that your God is just the same. Amen. Amen. We love Him on today. I love Him on today. Amen. He is my life, my joy, my peace. Amen. My everlasting song. For without Him, I can do nothing. Amen. And for without Him, you can do nothing either. Don't get it twisted. Amen. Don't get it out of place that it was all you. Amen. If it wasn't for God speaking that into your destiny, if it wasn't predestined for you to be where you are right now, for you to become who you are to become in Him, amen, I'm talking to those who are saved, amen, you would not be where you are today. Hallelujah. So every person that has put their fingerprints on your life, amen, the good, the bad, the ugly, and I sometimes say, and the trifling, it was all for the glory of God. Why? Because you would not know Him like you know Him. Amen. If it wasn't for the test, the trials, amen. And for all of that, we say, Lord, I thank you. Amen. For everything that you have brought me through, brought me to, and taken me over. Amen. Glory to God. Let us just give God a hand praise just one more time. Just because God has, amen, given us the strength to go through. Amen. Some of that stuff we went in on our own, but yet, if He didn't allow it to kill us, amen, He allowed it to shape us, amen,
thank you, Jesus,
to drive us into His face, amen, causing us to call upon the name of the Lord, amen. Because if we left it up to our own devices, if the Lord didn't put His hand upon our lives, we would never turn to Him for anything. But sometimes God causes those situations to take them down in a deep valley into a pit, and then cause that sometimes to cause them to cover that pit up. But by the grace and the glory of God, because of those tests and those trials, you call upon the name of the Lord. And He said, those that call upon Me shall be saved. Amen. And if you call upon Him, He will answer. Amen. I just read it for you this morning. He will answer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now we are, amen, transitioning into the Word, amen, of God that is getting ready to be delivered. Amen. I don't know about you, but we are in day two of the Women of Prophetic Destiny Fellowship, and I am excited about what God has to say unto His people. And I pray each and every one of you are receiving something from the Lord, whether it's confirmation, healing, amen, direction, insight, amen, whatever it is that you need from God, I'm praying for you that you will receive everything that He has for you on this day. Amen. And without any further ado, let us make room, amen, to receive at this podium none other than the angel of this house, Michael, Apostle Christopher, of which he has received him, but has not the right to
be here. Come on, give God a praise. I said, come on, give God a praise. Come on, let's lift him up and give God a praise. Yeah, yeah. My God. We praise the Lord. The power of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. And we're so grateful, amen, that He would choose, amen, to use us in such a way as this. Look at your neighbor and tell them, this is the day. That the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
I will rejoice.
And I will rejoice.
And be glad.
And be glad.
Now you said it. Now let me see you do it. Come on. Rejoice and give God the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what going into the Word of God, we're so happy that the Lord would bless us and that the Lord would give us an opportunity to minister His Word to His people. Look at your neighbor and just tell them that the Lord has something for you.
The Lord has something for you.
Come on, say it again. The Lord has something for you. I'm so grateful that God looked at me over my life and, you know, despite myself, and let me say it like that, despite me,
yes,
He still blessed me, amen. And it is in this time that we begin to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Don't ever let it be said that you forgot or you didn't recognize or you didn't realize that God loved you so much that he died for you. Look at your neighbor and say, that was a special kind of love.
Special kind of love, special kind of love.
Oh, come on, think about your life. You know, some of us haven't lived the best lives. Amen. And yet still the Lord took time, man. Before there was a you that you knew of, he had already died for you. Amen. And in dying for you, he secured your sonship. Amen. I think too often looking, we don't understand that we are the children of God, so we don't act like his children. And I remember my parents used to always tell me, you know, when I would go out, they say, don't forget whose child you are. Yes. Your neighbor would say, don't forget whose child you are. But that's important because a lot of times we forget who we belong to, and because we forget, we start acting out and acting up. After all is said and done, we have an account. Amen. That we have to keep in touch. Amen. And I said keep because Jesus already paid it off. Amen.
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 But there's sometimes when our flesh gets in the way. Amen. We need to settle that account simply by coming back to the Lord and saying, I'm sorry. Amen. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for being me. And isn't that hard to say sometimes? Because we strive. This is me. I'm just doing me. But sometimes you have to understand just doing you can be the worst thing you can do. Amen?
Right.
Now, this morning we're going to go back into the word. We've been looking at Psalms 139. And let's just read that again. Message that we have to preach because we have to remember that God thought about us before we thought about ourselves. And there is a plan for your life that is beyond your plan. Amen?
Amen.
So you didn't think about it. You just came into it. God could have had you be born at any time, but he chose now. Look at your neighbor and say, God chose now.
God chose now.
Come on, say it again, God chose now.
God chose now.
That's important because sometimes we think that, you know, we're here by half a chance. People have lied to us and told us that we were hoops babies. Or I was planning you. You wasn't planning me, but God was planning me. That's why I'm here. Amen. Nobody just showed up. I don't care. There are people right now trying their best. Amen. To have a child, but can't have it because it just is not meant. Amen?
Yes.
They can go through all the different procedures and things to do it and get other people to carry the child for them, the egg and the seed and all the rest of that. They can try to get it together. And, you know, but after all is said and done, nobody is here by mistake.
Yes.
Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you're meant to be here.
You're meant to be here.
Amen. Say it again. You're meant to be here.
You're meant to be here.
Let's go here quickly. Psalms 139 and 13. We're just going to read those two verses here, and then we're going over to Jeremiah, the first chapter. Lord, bless my mind. Open my understanding. Help me to minister this word to your people. Let me decrease, let you stand up in me so that they can see and hear the word that you speak, not necessarily my articulation, Lord, not necessarily my exegetical dissertation, but your word spoken through this vessel. I decrease that you might increase. Now, Lord, you are my hope, you are my strength, you are my redeemer. Help me to do what I need to do this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. I want to ask you all to do something that we do not all the time, but we need to incorporate it in because it is proper. I'll ask you to stand for the reading of God's word because we honor his word because it is his word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We get into this want you all to join us again tonight at 7 p.m. Amen. We'll be on the air giving God some more glory. Amen. I'm reading from the New King James Version where it simply says, "You form my inward parts. You covered me from my mother's womb. I will praise you." Look at your neighbor and say, "I will praise you.
I will praise you.
For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." But hold your finger right there. Go over with me to Jeremiah, the first chapter, fourth verse. Jeremiah 1 and 4. Simply says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation. Then I said, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord." Now, put your Bibles down just quickly, and just look at your neighbor and say, "I am.
I am."
That's it. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, "I am.
I am."
Now, give God a praise right there.
Amen.
Amen. And if you take your seat, if you could make sure that these microphones are on, they should be towards the end, like 14, 15, make sure 13, 14, all of those up at the end are muted. Amen. So make sure we don't have any feedback here. Amen. It is interesting as we begin to look at this passage. The Lord was speaking to me and the problem that we've been dealing with and that we've been looking at is the fact that we have been going through an identity crisis. Look at your neighbor and say, there's an identity crisis.
There is an identity crisis.
What is the identity crisis? The identity crisis is in the body of Christ. The problem that we're having here is that people don't know who they are or whose they are. It's a problem because when you don't know who you are or whose you are, it opens up the door for the enemy then to begin to give you an identity. And oftentimes the identity that the enemy gives you is not one that has kingdom value. You don't have kingdom attributes. You're a child of God, but you don't even look like God. Okay. You have to understand that we were born in sin, but shaped in iniquity. And oftentimes when your kingdom assignment comes up, your shaping tends then to detour your destiny. Because you can't see what God sees in you. But you have to understand that God designed you at the very beginning. He knew who you were. We looked at the scripture a couple of weeks. We were dealing with the blind man who was born from his birth. Amen. And the one thing that he did that we have to look at and understand is that he looked there and he saw or he obeyed a command from Jesus. Go and wash. Amen.
Yeah.
And he went and he washed. Obedience. The Bible says, and he came back seeing.
Correct.
Amen. So when he did that, what he did was he demonstrated something. Now, people said, this is him. Others said, no, that's like him. But he said, I am he.
Yeah.
there's a point in time that you have to get to understanding of who you are. And you can never understand who you are if you never stop to realize and recognize that God created you with a purpose.
Yes.
Look at your neighbor and say, I have a purpose.
I have a purpose.
Amen. So when we see that you have a purpose, there you go. Then you can take your time and walk out your kingdom assignment knowing that every step that you make is not being made for naught. Everything that you're doing is being made because God gave you a purpose. Your steps have been ordered by the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, the steps of a good man, of a righteous man, are ordered by the Lord. The Bible speaks those words. We understand them here. But you have to now apply it to yourself. I am a child of God. And if I'm a child of God, then my path has already been designed by God. That means that even in my times of insecurities and uncertainties, when I'm walking trying to figure out which way I need to go, God already knew what turn to take, what fork in the road to go down. He knew when I need to go straight and when sometimes I just need to stop and wait. In football, you know, there's some routes that they run. They'll run down and then they cut and then they come back around because that's where it's supposed to receive the pass, amen? And it's that there on the outside or the inside, over the shoulder here, all those things right there is where the quarterback is going to deliver the package. Y'all stay with me. It's football season. I'm happy it's back on. Amen. Woo-hoo. Amen. Still a nation. I don't care if you like them or not. Anyhow, the thing is that there is a set path and there is a set design for something that is coming. And if you are out of place, we have an incomplete. Y'all see it? So some of you are upset because you were in your path, and God had a path for you to run, and he sent that package, but you were out of place, and it was an incomplete path. You're trying to get God to look at where I am. Look at me. Look at where I am. Well, see, your steps are not ordered by you. Your steps are ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
Understand this. Each one of these receivers that's downfield running their path, they're doing their job, they're trying to get free so that they can receive. And this is the thing here. The quarterback sits here and looks across the field and sees who's ready to receive. The problem that some of you have is that you ran your path. It wasn't his path. And you're wondering how come it's not going to produce. You can't produce if you're not in your job. You're applying. I need you to run this way. You're going to run the S pattern. You're going to go up. I want you to run the cross pattern. And then I just need you to go long. Because those are options. You see that? And what God knows is the end at the beginning. So when he tells you to move, he already knows how this play is going to work out. Now, let me help you out. Some of you said, well, maybe I've gone too far, maybe I've done too much that I can't mix this up. It can't help me now because I missed my assignment. No, my brother, my sister, after the play has been whistled dead, they go back to the huddle and they get a new assignment. Look at your neighbor and say, regardless of your past, you can't get a new assignment. Somebody right there needs to give God a praise, right? Oh, come on, but you know, good and well. You dropped the ball, you fumbled. It was almost an interception. But you get to go back and do it over again. Thank God the game is not one corner down. Amen. So you can make it. Look at your neighbor, just encourage him a little bit and say, you can make it. Now, if you're going to make it, then you have to understand that, as I'm saying, God has already designed your steps. He designed who you are. He designed the purpose of your life. You could have been born to anybody, but you were born to the parents you were born to. You could have been born at any time. Huh? You could have been born in the 20s, the 30s. You could have been born in the 17, the 1800s. But God chose now for you to be born. Why? Because your assignment and your purpose is meant for now. Look at your neighbor and say, now. When you understand that, then you'll stop wishing for yesteryear. You'll stop trying to be tomorrow today. And you'll learn how to be now. Because this is what God designed you for. Now. Look at the neighbor and say,
now.
No, I got a question for you. We know what you did with your past. It's in your history. But what are you doing with your now? What are you doing with your now? Is your now being productive, or are you simply going through the steps? I woke up today with no plans, so I'm just here. And tomorrow I don't have no plans, so I'll just be here tomorrow. Look, my brothers, my sisters, everything about you should be about a forward progression. If you're doing anything in your life, you should be thinking about what you're doing a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Where will you be? Will you still be waking up 10 years from now just saying, well, I woke up another day 10 years later, the Lord still blessed me to live. Listen, if you don't have a plan for where you're going, you can't start on the path today. Your now determines your tomorrow.
And
too many people are just existing but not living. And God didn't call us to abundant existing. He called us to abundant life. Amen. I would above all think that you would have an abundant life. Live holy. Live an abundant life. I'm not talking about riches. This ain't your prosperity theology message. Amen. This is just telling you God wants good stuff for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look at your neighbor and say amen.
Amen.
So if we're going to understand this, then we have to understand what God has done for us. Amen. Look what it says here in Psalms 139 and 13. It says, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. That means before you could get out here to mess yourself up, God had already put you together. Amen. And you were formed, let me just say it like this, you were formed concerning what he had for you to do. Amen?
Amen.
So when we speak this, we have to look at it. It puts in perspective then what we see over here in Jeremiah 1. It says, in 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So that means that before you came into being, he knew you and he knew the purpose for you. Isn't it interesting that people always have desires and wants, but certain people exceed or excel in certain areas and it's effortless? I don't know, something about math and algebra. And if it was money, I got that together. I could tell you what's going on. I could run it down and percentage everything else. Don't put an algebra in front of it to tell me that what I'm doing is algebra, because at that moment you're speaking Russian. Okay, I don't know. I can't do it. It's just, you know, not that I can't do it. It's difficult to be done. Amen. Ask my past teachers, they would tell you that there's certain things that click and certain things that they have to, well, reinforce. Amen.
Amen.
And maybe yours is English. You haven't always spoken well all of your life. Amen. You may have some areas that you know, have to push past because it's just not your thing. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there are certain people, though, who have a natural proclivity towards certain behaviors and behavior patterns. It's something that is easy to them. And when we talk about your kingdom assignment, God placed inside of you a desire to please him.
Right.
And your fulfillment or satisfaction of that desire comes in your accepting the assignment and being obedient to the pathway to its completion.
Amen?
Amen? So you're not going to just do something and you know, throw God's name on and hope he's happy with it because I gave you something, Jesus. No, you were created for a purpose. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, knowing you says that there's some things about you intricately that he understands. Some things about you that nobody else knows, your closest friends don't know. Amen. There's things that, I'll say it like this, Prophetess and I have been married going on 21 years. We've known each other over 21 years, amen. But there's still things I'm learning about her. And I know there's some stuff she's still learning about me, amen. And that's good, bad, and different. Don't make no difference. This is our marriage, and we love each other. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't trade you for nobody. Amen. Y'all have to understand, God bless me good. Amen. But there's some things about her that I'm still learning. And bring your mind up, bring your mind up. Amen. I formed you in the womb. I knew you. Amen. Y'all on that sidebar, God bless you. God bless me there too. Amen. Okay, now, he said, before I formed you, and look at these words. Before, everybody say before.
Before.
I formed you. And then before, say it again, before.
Before.
You were born, I sanctified you. That means that there was some forethought that went into your creation and design. If God took time to think about who you are, whether you're black, white, tall, short, skinny, fat, ugly, cute, talented, two left feet, it don't make no difference. God knows everything about you, and he designed you. We celebrate diversity in that way, but not the other way. Amen? Because God could have made us all the same height. He could have gave us all the same skin tone. He could have gave us all the same type of hair. You see what I'm saying? We could have all spoke the same language. But God chose to make some of us dark, some of us light, some of us Asian, and some of us Hispanic. I mean, you talk about black people being different colors. If you ever talk to someone who is Hispanic, they come in brown and other colors too. You talk to somebody and they don't even look like they, until they open up their mouth. And you go, oh, okay. Going up in New York, I thought I saw a brother. I went over and asked him a question, and he started speaking to me in Spanish. And I looked at him like, I thought you was one of us. Well, guess what? How about being over in the Middle East and you speaking to somebody and they look just like you, but what's coming out of their mouth is not, hey, what's up, bro? Okay, it ain't there. Amen? God chose us and made us who we are and the differences that we are. Amen? And the making us in the differences is because all of us have to do what God called us to do. Let me go right back to this football game here because everybody cannot be the quarterback. If everyone was the quarterback, there would be no one to block. Everyone can't be a blocker because if everyone was blocking, there would be nobody to throw the ball down the field. Huh? And if there was no wide receivers or any rest of those, we wouldn't have nobody to throw the ball to. That would be a sour game with a whole bunch of quarterbacks. They'd just be throwing the ball down the field. What's the game? Who can throw the furthest? Who can knock the ball out the air when they start throwing? I mean, come on, really. That's not the game. Amen? Each player plays his part. And there's also on a sideline a lot of coaches. Amen?
Amen?
Because sometimes you're not going to be out on the field, but you need to be the best coach that you can be. Amen? God sets certain people in place and gives them certain skill sets so that they can compete. Amen? Or that they can contribute to the game as a whole. I think one of the most interesting people that I ever saw is those guys that be running around with the water bottles up in the air like this. I used to think, oh, y'all could make the team. But I recognized that the team could not function if it wasn't for those boys. So those players get done, and they come by, and they open up their mouth, and they squirt liquid into their mouth, water or whatever they hydrate with. See, we think that they're big assignments and little assignments. But whoever you are, God knew you, God formed you, for your assignment. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in your lane.
Amen.
I'd be silly to walk around with a water bottle and I got the best armor. Wouldn't it? I'm the biggest thing that can hold up everybody, but I'm going to try to run downfield so I can test them all. That's a little out of place, isn't it? Everybody has an assignment, and you were created for your assignment. I got a voice, but I don't have a voice like Sister Melissa. Thank God she got that clear soprano. Amen. I can make some noise, but I can't make noise like Prophetess Crystal. Amen. Huh? She gets up there, and I told off of myself one time, what I do is I always put her up before I speak because she already gets the crowd for them. All she got to do is say, come on, get out of and about that time, people just, hey, this makes preaching so much easier for me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it's true, but then again, it goes the other way. Because she goes out to preach, and I actually go and play behind her, and she'll hit a point, and I'll hit an A flat, and people be like, woo! We help us one to the other, amen. Interesting thing about us is before we got married, God already told us about a joint ministry. Am I right? Told us who we was, told us about the church, told us what we had to do, amen. And we've seen it come full circle. God is the God of his word. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, let me move quickly, because I want you to understand some things here. If we're fearfully and wonderfully made, amen, and God knew us before we were formed in the womb, before we were born, he said, I sanctified you. Then that means, the word sanctification means a separating or setting aside, amen, for a holy meaning. That means some of your lives, amen, and I say all of your lives, because you have to understand, if God didn't want you, then you would have been in another place where you didn't have access to a gospel. Amen? But because you are where you can hear the word, you can rest assured that God wanted you to hear it, believe it, and move in the word. Amen? According to the word, live your life. He said, before you were born, I sanctified you. And this is the kicker right here. I ordained you. Now, I remember going through ordination for and everything, and before I became who I am and going through all of that, it was a time of my life where I had to make classes and do homework and study and get in the word, and there were tests and other things I had to do to make sure that when I stood up as an elder in the church that I knew this word. Also, I knew the precepts of what our denomination was at the time, amen? So you didn't just get up and say, I believe that I'm supposed to be called to preach, and they give you a Bible and give you some cologne and a briefcase and some business cards and let you go out with a couple of handkerchiefs that, or towels so you can wipe your brow while you're out here working through your text. No, you had to go through and show that you had proficiency in the word, amen? Nowadays, what people are doing is they say, the Lord told me to go out and preach, and people are giving them licenses and everything, and they're going out and tearing up scripture, messing over denominational, foundational things, you know, and so now we got a bunch of churches pop up because can't nobody in there rightly divide the word of truth. No one takes time to learn the word. We get in there, and all it's about is, give me an F right now. So they get in there, and all they want to hear is, and that's all they want. Where are we at, church? That's what they want. But they can't quote a scripture afterwards. The devil comes and invades their territory, and they don't have the word of God in them to tell him what to do and when to do it. Well, the devil fought me, and I'm just so happy the Lord didn't let me succumb to that. No, I'm supposed to be a devil chaser. You understand? Huh? If one could put 1,000 apply, 2 10,000, how can we run from the devil when he's supposed to be running from us? Huh?
in my name it shall cast out demons. Why are you running from a demon that you have power and authority to cast out? Other than you don't know that you have power and authority to cast out.
Yeah.
But we shout. He preached, but he preached on me, but he got, and all that was good. But afterwards, it's the devil scared of you, or are you scared of him? See, we got to get into this teaching and this training, because if he ordained you, then he ordained you with weaponry. You are powerful based on God's design for your life. You cannot beat me, the enemy. But the devil, if he can get you not to be yourself, can walk over you all day long. Look at your neighbor and just ask him, who are you?
Who are you?
Come on, ask him again, who are you?
Who are you?
See, as we go down into this, we see that Jeremiah says, Lord, I'm a youth. I can't speak. You know, in other words, I know you're talking about the calling you gave me, but I can't do it because, hey, I'm disqualified. Look at your neighbor and say, God taught you disqualified.
To qualify.
Say it again. God called you disqualified.
God called you disqualified.
Disqualified. Say it again. God called you disqualified.
To qualify you.
All right. So understand, no one in the Bible was called at the pinnacle of what they were going to do. They weren't at that place yet. But along the calling to the actuality of it, we see a birth and a progression. Abraham didn't come out as Abraham, the father of faith. He came out as Abram, trying to figure out who to take along with him.
Right.
First place, he goes to Egypt and starts lying. That ain't my wife. That's my sister. You know, which was the truth, but it wasn't the truth that of the matter. Amen. He told just enough of the truth so that, because he was looking at what was going to happen. He wasn't the one who said, well, who saved their sister, that we do. He wasn't that man yet. Y'all see that? When they took Lot and the kings were out there, he wasn't the man that took 318 of his train service and went and delivered Lot. Come back with give him a test and then a tie. He wasn't that man. David was not the king when Samuel poured the oil on his head. You see, it is just choosing of you here and your practice that qualifies you for your destination. See, you can't get to your destination and you don't have what it takes to qualify to do the work here. So God calls you here and processes you on your way. And when you get here, you are skilled and equipped and ready to do the work. Y'all see that?
Yes.
Because some of us, God called us, and because we don't see this right here, we won't start moving here. But if you don't move here, you'll never get to this. Walking around with pictures of cars and houses and stuff around you, talking about that's going to be me one day. It's not going to be you one day if you don't get to what God called you to do. Oh, God, help us. So he said, I sanctify you, I ordain you. Don't tell me about your shortcomings, because I already know what your calling is. I accept your process. Look what he says here. He says, do not be afraid of, let's go back, 7 first. Go down to the 7 first. But the Lord says to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And that's the thing, is that we're going a whole bunch of places talking about we anointed, and my anointing carries me, but your anointing only covers you for your assignment. I got to teach this right now. People are running all over the place talking about I'm anointed. I'm so anointed I could go to the bar. I could go to this. I could do that because I'm anointed. I'm not going to drink while I'm up in there, but I'm going to go to it anyhow because these people need to hear about Jesus. No, they're not going to hear about Jesus because that's not your assignment. And if you go there, your anointing will not show up with you. It means you're out of place and the devil has a free reign on. I'm tired of seeing young men and women being taken advantage of and destroyed because they're in the wrong place with no covering.
Well, I wasn't doing nothing. You were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
When those bullets start flying, that wasn't the place for a child of God to be in. You shouldn't have been there. Where is your testimony when you're doing the same thing of people that you're trying to testify to? They can't hear you, can they? Because you look just like them. You're doing everything that they're doing. Amen? And God can't get no glory out of that. Amen? I know that's a little rough because we feel that we should be able to go any place and they should just let me be me. But you're born with a purpose. Amen. He said, wheresoever for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you to speak, you want to speak it. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you, look at this, to deliver you, says the Lord. Amen. Now, I stop here, not because I'm done, but because we pause. Because you need to take into yourself some personal inventory. There's some checking that needs to go on the inside. God called you.
What are you doing with the call?
What are you doing with your now? Are you making excuses for yesterday and just existing now? What about your tomorrow? Is it ordered by God's plan, steps for your life? If not, your tomorrow's going to look good. You have no hope for tomorrow. God is trying to get us to a place where we realize and recognize that God chose us and He created us with purpose. That purpose will make your life worth living. Your purpose will cause you to have an existence. I'm tired of existence. How many of you want to live? Come on, give God a praise right here. It was at this juncture then that I asked the question. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart of your sin. I speak to you now, and I say to you that if you are one who wants to give the Lord your life, one of those who comes back and gives yourself back to Him, redeeming the time, I pray that you pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me all my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. Lord, I pray if they prayed that prayer that you would lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, where they may be matured and developed and go on to do the work that you called them to do. I pray for those, Lord, who need a touch, those who are sick in the body, those who need encouragement from you, Lord, that you will begin to move in their lives in the name of Jesus. Loose the resources. Heal them now in the name of Jesus. Deliver them. Deliver their emotions, their hearts, their minds, so that they can go on and do the work that you brought them to do in the name of Jesus. Giving you the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you go. I pray that you become a vision partner with this. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning for Christ the King Redemptive Ministry worship experience at 8:30. And those of you who can tune in tonight at 7 o'clock, I would encourage you to do so. This is going to be a dynamic time for you. Amen? I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, along with Prophet Tristan McQueen, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Come on, give God a praise.